verse 51. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. Now, this is God's word to us today. Let me tell you a story. So a couple of months ago, I found myself in a doctor's room. This consultant was sitting in front of me. I'd been going through some tests. And she looked at me and she said, "Nathan, I want you to go on a wheat-free diet." Now, after I'd got home and endured the mocking of my family for not being able to enjoy the Lord's good gifts of McDonald's and donuts and cake, after I'd endured the mocking for having to be wheat-free, actually, I started to realize that this is a really life-shaping thing. So suddenly, I've become that man who stands in a shop and looks at the labels for things. Is there wheat in this? I'm the man who goes into a restaurant and says, "Do you have anything that's wheat-free?" I'm that person. This thing, being wheat-free, has had an impact on my life every day. There's not a day that goes past where it doesn't shape me, where it doesn't affect me in some kind of way. Wheat-freeness shapes my life. Or if I was to put it in an extreme form, I live a wheat-free shaped life. Does that make sense to people? Now, why am I telling you that? Because I want you to understand today that for a disciple, for someone who is following the Lord Jesus, there is not a day in our lives that should go past where the cross of our Lord Jesus, the story of the cross, its details, the achievements of the cross, should not shape our life in some way. There is not a day that goes past where the cross should not have some impact and influence on the way that we do life. Now, maybe it's a bit cliche for a preacher to say this, but a disciple should be cross-shaped. Our lives should be cross-shaped. Just as my life is now shaped by trying to be wheat-free, actually the disciple's life is shaped by the cross of our Lord Jesus. And one such way that the life should be shaped by the cross of Jesus is seen for us in Luke chapter 9, this little reading that we've got in front of us today. And I want to put it like this today. I'm going to put our big idea up front and then we're going to think about it together. Disciples, those learning to walk with Jesus, are learning to be on cross-shaped, squidged, kind of impacted mission with Jesus. They're learning to be on cross-shaped mission with Jesus. That is a mission that is impacted and affected by the events of the cross, the achievements of the cross of our Lord Jesus. Now, this mission is a mission that we see Jesus on in this story and the disciples. So have a look down at chapter 9, this little story we read together where they go to a Samaritan village. This is the mission that they're on in this story. So Jesus, back in chapter 4, you've got to remember that we've had a little break, but we've come through Luke's gospel. Back in chapter 4, he said, "I have come," he stood up in a synagogue and he said, "I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He said that he had come to preach a message. And he was moving around. He is a man moving with a message of God's grace, of God's favor. A little bit later in chapter 4, as you trudge through, the disciples, he's doing all this kind of wow healings to back up the message. And the disciples say, "Oh, Jesus, that everyone's looking for you." And what does Jesus say? Well, let me just read it to you. Back in chapter 4, he says, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. You see what Jesus is doing? What's his mission? He's a man on a mission moving around with a message. It's the message of how people get back into a right relationship with God. And that's what he's doing. And as we drop into this story in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus heads off to a Samaritan village, it's that mission that he's on. He's travelling around with this message. It's not a random road trip. If you look at chapter 9, verse 51, you get this idea of a journey. Jesus is heading off to Jerusalem. And it's not that he's just kind of looking for the toilet or the service station on his journey to Jerusalem. No, this is deliberate, actively seeking to go to another place where he can share the message. You see what he's doing? So the mission, this cross-shaped mission, is the mission that Jesus and his disciples were on. But it's also the mission that he's left his disciples to get on with. And so if you're sitting here this morning as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, it's the mission that we are to be getting on with. So at the end of Luke's Gospel, I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but at the end of Luke's Gospel, Jesus rises from the dead and he says to his disciples, "Go, preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in my name to all nations." That's where it's heading. That is the mission that he has left disciples with. It's the mission that we are on. It's not an optional extra. If you're a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus, it's not that, oh, I'll have that option. I want to be part of the mission. No, you are on that mission. So when you head out tomorrow, when you guys go back to your classrooms tomorrow, and you hang around with your friends, and when some of us perhaps head out to our workplaces tomorrow, to that office, or we get on the train or on the bus, or perhaps, tomorrow's shopping day, or you've got to sort out the house day, or when you walk to the school gate. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you are on mission. It's not optional. You're to be moving around with the message of Jesus, because that's what disciples are called to do. So that's a bit of an intro. But let's see, shall we? In this story, the disciples are learning what it means to be on that mission, but to have it shaped and impacted by the cross of our Lord Jesus. And my hope is that we'll, this morning, learn to do that as we chug through this story together. So as we go out on mission, we leave here this afternoon, tomorrow morning, wherever you are, as we go out on mission, here's what this story teaches us. First of all, we must be unmoved from the message of the cross. We must be unmoved from the message of the cross. Just have a look at chapter 9 and verse 51. You look there. As the time approached for him, Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now, it's a famous phrase. If you've been hanging around churches for a while, this is probably one of the most famous verses in Luke's Gospel. Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. But just pause for a minute, okay? Let's take some time, pretend we've never read it, and just have a look at it. Because it tells us that Jesus is on a journey. You see that? Where's his destination? Have a look. Where's his destination? I'm going to take off my jumper because I'm getting warm. Jerusalem, okay? So there it is. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, almost. Where does it actually say he's heading to? Was it? Someone shout out. Heaven. Yeah, Clement, what did you reckon? Oh, it's there. It's nearly there. It's heaven. Have a look closely at the verse, okay? Destination of this journey as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. You know, so when he gets his sat-nav out and he punches in his destination, it's heaven. Bing. There's destination. But how is he going to get there? Have a look closely. Via Jerusalem. You see that verse? I just want you to see it, okay? I'm not trying to be clever. I just want you to see what's going on here. He's heading for destination heaven, but he goes via Jerusalem. Now, I just want you to think about this destination for a moment. We're told there that it's a destination when he would be taken up to heaven. Now, actually, if you read a number of English translations, it's trying to translate a really odd Greek phrase, which means that he will be received up to heaven. Jesus is returning home. If you've read Luke's Gospel, you'll know that Jesus is on a journey. He comes from heaven to earth, and he lives his life on earth via Jerusalem back to heaven. That's the journey that Jesus is on. And as he, it's almost like he's waiting to go home. This idea of being taken up to heaven is that Jesus will be received and welcomed up to heaven. Monday, Tuesday this week, I was away on a conference. And late Wednesday night, I got in the house. And I opened the door, and there was my wife. She wasn't waiting behind the door for me, I just wanted to face the side. But she was coming out the lounge, and thankfully she received me back. That's this idea. She welcomed me home. Now there's always a possibility that when I leave the house, leaving her with six kids, that I might not get a welcome home. But actually, graciously, she received me back into the house. And that's the picture that we're given here. Jesus is going to be received, welcomed back up to heaven. It's a lovely picture. But how does he get there? Well, he has to go via Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, again, sorry to be a spoiler alert, but if you're reading Luke's Gospel, Jerusalem is shorthand for the cross and the resurrection. Jesus knows exactly the route he has to take to get that welcome back up to heaven. And it involves, if you just flick back a page to chapter 8, verse 22, he knows exactly that he's going to have to suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Jesus knows that what awaits him in Jerusalem, his pathway, where the sat-nav is taking him, is via the cross, so that he receives that welcome back into heaven. And even though he knows that's what awaits him in Jerusalem, he sets his face, courageously sets his face towards Jerusalem. Just as an aside here, parents, if you're ever trying to encourage your kids to be brave, don't go to any other example other than Jesus. Because here is someone who shows all bravery and courage. He sets his face to Jerusalem. Now why? Why is he so determined to go to this horror that awaits him in Jerusalem to get back up to heaven? Well, let me show you. Or let me tell you. He's so determined to go to the cross because he knows that the cross is the only way that all those who are following him down that road to Jerusalem will end up receiving a welcome to heaven. The welcome that he will receive. Do you understand that? He knows, he is so determined to go to heaven, to be received up to heaven via the cross, because that is the only way that people like you and me, who deserve no reception in heaven, can possibly be received up to heaven with the welcome that Jesus gets. That's why he's so determined to get there. And it is by this means alone that he can become good news that is worth carrying to the nations. It's this means, heading to Jerusalem, the cross is the only way that he becomes good news that you and I move around with to the nations. Is that Barnaby's just filling his nappy over there? That's good. That's a good thing. Well done, Barnaby. But you see the determination Jesus has got here? I don't know if you've ever watched closely the sprinters. This is true, I think, apart from Usain Bolt. But basically, their eyes, if you look where their eyes are pointed, they rise out the blocks, their heads are down, and then they're up. And their eyes are fixed on their destination. Their eyes are fixed on where they're getting to. Apart from Usain Bolt, he seems to smile for the cameras at different points. But Jesus is like a sprinter. Jesus is like eyes on the destination because he knows that's the way he helps sinners like us to be received into heaven. And at this point in Luke's Gospel, I want you to begin to see, it's actually all over Luke's Gospel, but it's this point you begin to see the centrality of the cross in Jesus' mission. It's at this point you see that Jesus is going to be unmoved. And if I can put it as bluntly as this, that if there is no cross, then for people like you and me, there is no heaven. And if there is no cross, then for you and me, there is no message that we should take to other people. Jesus would not be moved from the cross. And if we are learning to be on mission with Jesus, then we should share his centrality of the cross, shouldn't we? Being on cross-shaped mission means that we have a cross-shaped message to take to others. And let's just pause for a moment, okay? Because it's easy, isn't it, to sit in church and listen to something like that. But let's just take that and just work that into our hearts for a minute. Actually, that is a truth that I need to remind myself of every day. As a believer in the Lord Jesus, me personally needs to be unmoved from the centrality of the cross. Because the cross, every day, reminds me that that is the only way that I will ever receive a welcome into heaven. I will be received up. You know, like my wife welcomed me in on Wednesday night, it's the only way that I will be received up into heaven, where I deserve no welcome from God because of the way I have treated him. Actually, it's the cross of Jesus where he paid for my sin, where I am forgiven, that I can then receive a welcome into heaven. And I need to be reminding myself of that every day. You know, I know we're kind of well-versed, lots of us here, and we kind of know this is true. But there is a danger, isn't there, that we believe that in our hearts, but we live like God will welcome us because of other things we do. You know, because I'm a good boy this week, I'll receive a welcome into heaven. Or because I, you know, I've attended church, or I went not just to Sunday, but I also went to Grow Group, and I went to the ladies' Bible study on a Friday. And I'm not even a lady, you know, I'm so dedicated that I you know, Jesus will welcome me because I do these things. And it creeps in. But as I go out on mission with Jesus, and I'm learning to spread this message of Jesus and his cross, I first and foremost need to be a man who is unmoved from the cross personally. I need that message. And actually, then it becomes the content of the message I take to other people. See, as we head out this week, and we're, you know, look around a room like this, we're all going to go to different places this week. And as we head out with a mission to spread the message of Jesus, our message can never be less than the cross, can it? We've got nothing else to say to people. How else are people going to be received up to heaven? How else is that person that you sit next to in the office, or the person that you see in Tesco's every Monday morning, or wherever it is that you are, how are they going to be received up to heaven? It is only as they go via the cross. It is only as they go via trusting in the Lord Jesus who gave his life for them. And I don't know, maybe you're here this morning. And that's the message you need to hear. You need to hear the centrality of the cross in the faith of a believer. Because it is the cross, putting our faith in Jesus who went to the cross, that means we can be received up to heaven. That is our message. There's a story at the end of Luke's Gospel where one of the thieves dying next to Jesus on the cross, he kind of has that moment, the lights come on, and he says, "Jesus, will you remember me today when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus says to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." What is that? That's the receiving into heaven, isn't it? So you come to Jesus, you go via the cross, put your faith in Jesus, and you're received up to heaven. And so friends, as we head out on mission this week, actually the cross, you have to be unmoved from the cross. It was everything. It was where Jesus' eyes were pointing. It was everything that shaped his mission. And as we head out on mission, it has to shape ours too. Does that make sense? That's what we've got to do. We've got to be unmoved. Now, that's the longest point. Please don't panic. But here's some other things. As we head out on mission this week, we've got to expect rejection. Just look at verse 52 and 53. Jesus sends out some messengers. Maybe that's a couple of the disciples. He was travelling down a road with his 12 crew that he had with him, his disciples, and then there were others with him as well. But maybe he sent them on ahead, and they go into this village, get things ready. Jesus is coming. He's got a message to share with you. Come on, let's find somewhere to stay. Let's get things prepped up. And then what does it say there? They did not welcome Jesus. They refused Jesus. They said, "We're not interested. We don't want you, Jesus. We don't want you to come. We're not interested in what you've got to say." Now, just as a bit of history, it helps to understand that there's a bit of a friction thing going on here. So the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really get on very well. They had a bit of a historical debate about where you worship Jesus or God, whether it was in Jerusalem or it was elsewhere. So there was already a bit of friction here. Maybe that's playing itself out, you see, because we're given a reason, aren't we, in verse 53. They did not welcome Jesus because he was heading to Jerusalem. And maybe there was something to do with that. But can I say that as I've studied this week and had a think about it, I think Luke wants us to see something a little bit deeper here. I think Luke has got a lesson for disciples. And the lesson is this. As we take to people the message of a Jesus who traveled to Jerusalem. So as we head out with the message of the cross, essentially, what can we expect? People to reject us. People to reject that message. We can expect people this week to say, do you know what, I'm not really interested. Thank you very much. Or we can expect people to say, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. Why? Because that's what happens here. If we are people who are central around the cross, if the cross shapes us in every way, then why would you expect anything less as you take the message of Jesus to people? Because the cross is a story of rejection. People rejected Jesus. His own people rejected him. The Romans, which I think is pictorial of the world, you know, the empire of the time, they rejected Jesus and they nailed him to a cross. And with that story shaping our mind as we head out this week with a message, what can you expect? Expect rejection. Now, of course, there'll be people who welcome. Of course, there'll be people who receive. Otherwise, there's no point in doing it. But this is just a story from this lesson. Learning to be on mission, we should expect someone to say, no, thank you. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear about Jesus. He is not welcome here. Paul tells us in Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So expect no welcome. And I was thinking about how to apply it this week to us. And I guess the only thing I've really got to say, and I say this to my own heart as much as to anyone else's, we've got to get over it. If you go out and you tell someone about Jesus and they say no thank you, you've got to get over it. Man up. Because that is gospel ministry. Jesus faced it, and we will face it too. You've been there, haven't you? All of you. If you're serious about taking the message of Jesus to people, you will have experienced this. And sometimes it's not very dramatic. Sometimes it's just that conversation on a Monday morning. You know how it goes? So you go into wherever you go on a Monday, school gate or the office, and you say, oh, hey, how are you? How was your weekend? Yeah, oh, great. Saturday, I went to the park with the kids, and then Sunday, I just laid in bed all day. And you say, what about you? Oh, yeah, well, Sunday, I went to the park with the kids, and Sunday, I went to church, and I heard this really useful talk about Jesus being the only way to heaven. And then you immediately can tell what sort of reception you're going to get, can't you? Either the eyes roll, or the body language goes, or they're like, oh, is that the time? Or I've got to go and do some photocopying, or I've just got to look after so-and-so. You know, we get it, don't we? We get that there are ways that people, as you try and take the message of Jesus to them, will just shut you down. That's the norm. Expect it. Don't be put off by it. Don't kind of let it make you sort of shy away, think, oh, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Far from it. The message of Jesus, as we take it to others, will receive rejection. And we've just got to get on with it. That's what Jesus is teaching his disciples in this story. Just let me share a story with you. I've been getting to know a Somali man. A really lovely man. And for a long time, we were just kind of passing and small greetings and getting to know one another, and I think he was as fascinated that I had nearly as many children as he did, and this kind of confused him a little bit. But we were kind of we had this really lovely conversation building, and then one day we got a paused conversation, so I got to talk for him a bit longer, and we were chatting away, and then he said to me, "Oh, what do you do?" I tell you, that's a bad one if you're a pastor. But anyway, I said, "Well, you know, what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, well, I'm a pastor of a church, and my job is to help people to get to know Jesus." And it was like suddenly I just lit a bomb in his face or something. He just shut down on me. And he just, you know, and ever since then, he's just not really wanted to talk to us. But you know that, don't you? You've experienced that kind of thing where people just don't want to receive and engage with Jesus. And what did I need to say to myself after that? And actually, I walked out of the room where I'd met him, and I was really deflated. Actually, what do I need to learn? Being on cross-shaped mission means I need to man up and say, look, that's what happens. Jesus is the rejected one. And so we need to learn to be rejected too. Thing number three, we've got to be less full of fire. As we head out on mission with Jesus, to be cross-shaped means we've got to be less full of fire. Wait, look at verse 54. When the disciples, James and John, that's some names, isn't it? James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Now, there's obviously something to see. We don't know too much. They'd gone to this village. There was maybe some kerfuffle. No, we don't want you. Whether the elders of the village had come out and said, no, you don't want you coming in here. But anyway, James and John, who are like, you know, the Mitchell brothers of the disciples. Jesus in Mark 3 names them the sons of thunder. And, you can imagine they've got their big puffer jackets on with their glasses. And they're like, come on. These guys are rejecting us. Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven on these guys? You know, they're like the heavy. I mean, incidentally, if you're going to get a disciple's name, Sons of Thunder is a cool name to have. I hope that I maybe get some cool name like that or something. But here they are. They're like these boys in their puffer jackets, and they stand before this village. They see something, and they're saying, Jesus. We want you to call down fire on this situation. Should we do that? Now, before I tell you why that's wrong, okay? Before I tell you why we should be less like James and John, can I just tell you that there's a seed of something that they got right? It's that they understand that rejecting Jesus is a serious thing. And I wonder sometimes if we lose that sense of it being a serious thing. If we lose that idea that people who say, no, I don't want to listen about Jesus, or don't talk to me about him. I wonder if we lose the sense that that is a serious thing. I was out on the streets the other day with some of the guys from here. We were just handing out leaflets, and I tried to hand one to a gentleman, and he said to me, "Oh, I'm not interested in all that Jesus stuff." And I think I just kind of rallied out a phrase like, "Oh, no problems," or "Oh, that's okay." But then I walked away, and I was really conscience stricken by saying that. Because I didn't mean that. It's not okay. It is not okay that someone walks away from Jesus. But actually, there's something else we need to learn here. I don't believe it. And actually, maybe if you're here, and if it was you I handed that card to and you're here, it's not okay. I don't mean it. It's not all right to walk away from Jesus. But there is a right way to respond to that. And James and John didn't get the right way to respond to it. You see, James and John, look at verse 55. Jesus turned and rebuked them. Now, if you're still with me, this turning word I think is quite significant because it teaches us what they've done that's wrong. See, where's Jesus' face looking? Jerusalem, to the cross. And at this point, when they start calling down the whole fire thing, which incidentally is a Bible thing, okay? You might think, where did they get that from? Well, they'd just been up a mountain with Elijah. Maybe they're feeling kind of hyped up and pumped up from that. And Elijah was a man who called down fire from heaven. So it's a Bible thing. But, you know, why are they doing that? Well, Jesus, you see, he's facing Jerusalem. He's heading to the cross. And at this moment, he has to turn away from the cross, turn away from where he's heading to tell the disciples off. And what that teaches us, I think, is that this is out of tune with what the cross stands for. Jesus has to turn from his mission. He has to turn from where he's having to save sinners to say, you've got it wrong. That's not what the cross stands for. Do you see the point? They've got a wrong attitude. At this moment, it's like James and John are calling down final judgment. It's like they're writing off this Samaritan village, saying, well, there's no hope for you. There's no chances left. We just want you to, boom, disappear. They've called final judgment when it's not their place to call final judgment. Now, the cross means that now is not the day of God's vengeance. Now is not the time of the Lord's judgment. Now is the day of salvation. The cross demonstrates the immense patience of Jesus that patiently gives people time to turn to him. And Jesus is rebuking an attitude. They've written off the Samaritans. They've cast final judgment on them. And the cross is meant to shape us as we head out on mission, to be patient with people and give them another day. Do you understand that? And I doubt any of us in this room have called down fire on, well, I don't know, you may have done, called down fire on people. You know, maybe we know that's not the thing to do. But can I ask you, who is it that you've written off? Who are your Samaritan village? Who have you said, oh, you know what, there's no point in sharing the gospel with them anymore because they just won't listen. Maybe let's draw some big pictures, but maybe you have that attitude towards Muslims. You know, maybe you say, oh, well, there's no point in sharing the gospel with them. They're so doing their own thing. They're never going to believe me. Well, what have you done? Well, in essence, you've called down final judgment. So I'm not sharing the gospel with them. Do you see the point? Who have you written off? Who stirs your thunder? The sons of thunder. Who stirs your fire calling? Who is it that when they say no to you, makes you want to go, boom? Actually, do you know what? We've got to let the cross shape our patience as we go out on mission. Jesus is immensely patient. You know, what does Jesus do in this scenario? If anyone should have been calling down fire, it was Jesus. But what does he do? He patiently walks away from the village. And he leaves them with another day. Another day to turn. And get this, if you read through Luke, so Luke wrote another book, it's called Acts. And at the beginning of Acts, this is really cool, okay? Where does he send James and John, the bouncers, back to? He says to them, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. He sends them back to the village. He sends them back to this place that they'd written off. And he says, go and give them another day. Go and tell them about Jesus again. You see, don't be full of fire. As we go out on mission, when someone says no, don't blow. Don't explode. Let the cross shape you, because the cross screams the patience of God, that there might be another day for people to turn. And instead of fire, what should we do? Well, the last thing, and this is really brief. Keep moving. Oops. Oh, it's gone. We're singing. No, we're not singing. Ethan, can you go back? Ethan's trying to move me along. Dad, you're preaching too long. Come on, move it along. Here's the last one. We keep moving to another village. You see that? See what they do, verse 56? This is the flip side of being someone who's full of fire. The disciples and Jesus went on to another village. Now, we're not told what village that is. We're not told where they went to, whether it was a Samaritan village or a Jewish village. But my guess is that they went to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus. To be cross-shaped means that we keep moving. I don't know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're right in the middle of a Samaritan village experience where everywhere you turn, people are just saying no. And your work colleagues, they just don't want to listen anymore. You try and raise it in the family and it's all tense and friction and no one wants to talk about it anymore, so you don't want to talk about it there. And you've got to the classroom and your mates are like, oh, you're not going to tell me you went to church at the weekend again. And, you know, perhaps you've just got to this point where it feels like you're in the Samaritan village where everyone's saying to you, no, we don't want to hear about Jesus. Then can I tell you what to do? Move on to another village. That's what Jesus did. He just kept moving around with the message. Now, I'm not literally advocating that you move, although that may be right for some of you. Maybe you've got to take the gospel to another part of the world. But what I'm meaning is, who's your next group of people that you're going to take the gospel to? Who are you going to move on to next? Where are you going to find the new people to share? And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know. I don't know who my new group of people is. Well, then pray about it. Because Jesus does. And remember, we're on mission with Jesus. He's directing us. And pray, Jesus, show me. This is one of my prayers at the moment. Who's the next people I'm going to share the gospel with? Jesus, please show me. Listen, I've gone on too long. Cross-shaped mission. That's what disciples were learning to be, on cross-shaped mission with Jesus. Every day the cross shapes how we do mission with him. And that means that we've got to be unmoved from the cross. It means we've got to expect rejection this week. It means we've got to be less full of fire. We've got to be patient with people. And we've got to be those who keep moving from village to village as we share the gospel with people. Let's pray that in, shall we? Let's pray that Jesus helps us to do that this week.